step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
A man disappears, leaving behind a half-eaten sandwich and a 21-year-old mystery. A woman leaves her flat after a row with her boyfriend and is never seen again. A teen leaves his house, destination unknown, and seemingly vanishes into thin air. A woman is connected to organised crime and disappears under mysterious circumstances months later. An old man walks out of his nursing home and never returns. These are the stories of some of Britain's missing people.
Hi, M&Ms. Welcome back to another episode of Murder and More. As always, I am your host, Kira.
It's not a crime to go missing. Adults voluntarily go missing all the time. The charity Missing People suggests that roughly 176,000 individuals are reported missing each year, with 100,000 of these being adults. 75% of adults either return or are found within 24 hours, and 5% are missing longer than a week. As of the 31st of March 2019, nearly 3,000 adults were classed as long-term missing individuals. As Christmas 2020 is around the corner, lots of families will have an empty chair at the dinner table, a chair that for many has been vacant for far too long. Alongside Fern from Evidence of a Crime and Madeline from Crimatorium, I'm going to tell you about a few of their stories. Maybe one of our listeners holds the key to finding even one of these missing individuals. Bruce Gapper was 40 years old when he disappeared in March 1999. He would now be 61. Bruce had attended the Frontier nightclub in Batley, West Yorkshire, on Saturday the 13th, as he always did, and left around 2:30 a.m. on the Sunday morning. At 10 past 11 on Sunday morning, Bruce spoke to his dad and was last seen by a neighbour at 1:30 p.m. unloading shopping from his car. This is the last known sighting of Bruce, and from there, his movements are unclear. What is known is that just 2 hours after he was last seen, at 3:30 p.m, a friend went round to Bruce's house, however no one appeared to be home. At 3:37 a.m, on Monday the 15th, Bruce's bank card was used at an ATM in Heckmondwick. A few hours later, at 6:30 a.m, Bruce's red Peugeot 309 was found, 9.5 miles away, burnt out at the junction of Castle Hillside and Lum Lane in Huddersfield. Bruce was due at work at Duke's Transport in Huddersfield, where he worked as a truck driver, at 7 a.m. and failed to show up. At roughly 20 minutes past 1 on Tuesday the 16th of March, Bruce Scapa was reported missing. His bank card was used two final times on Wednesday the 17th at 2:49 a.m. at an ATM in Southport, Merseyside, and then again on Thursday the 18th in the Morley area in West Yorkshire. As a result of these transactions, Bruce's bank account had been emptied. When officers searched Bruce's house, they found a half-eaten sandwich and a nearly full drink, suggesting that he may have left in a hurry. In March 2015, nearly 16 years to the day that Bruce vanished, police launched a murder inquiry into his disappearance. In an interview with The Examiner Live, Bruce's sister, Wendy, stated, quote, "As a family, we just want some closure. It's especially upsetting for my father, who's now 90. He doesn't want to depart this world without knowing what happened to him. It would have just been Bruce's 56th birthday, and it's days like that that bring it all back. We would appeal to anyone who knows anything to please come forward," end quote. Detectives running the inquiry described Bruce as a, quote, "hard-working man, close to his family and kept himself to himself," end quote. In 2018, an inquest was held, despite Bruce's body never being found. His sister, Wendy, revealed that Bruce had been in the RAF and had been married twice before his disappearance, but described him as a bachelor when he went missing in 1999. She also revealed that Bruce would recreationally use ecstasy and amphetamines, but stated that he wasn't a habitual user and had no criminal record. Wendy went on to describe her brother as gullible, detailing times he'd lent, quote, "so-called friends, money, which had gone wrong," end quote, and that he'd regularly share his PIN number with close friends on nights out. Concluding the inquest, Assistant Coroner Oliver Longstaff stated, quote, "There are a good deal of suspicions, but it's not for me to say whether that suspicion is well-founded or not. The evidence available to me falls short of establishing that Mr. Gapper was unlawfully killed," end quote. He recorded an open verdict, however Bruce was declared legally deceased 19 years after his disappearance. Following the inquest, Wendy stated, quote, "I just feel sad, really. It has been a long time to have the information that he has passed. It does give us some sort of closure. I still believe there are people who may know something. I would ask that they come forward," end quote. Bruce was described as 5'8" tall at the time of his disappearance, of stocky build with balding brown hair. He had blue eyes, wore spectacles, and was typically clean-shaven. Now Bruce's family need your help. All the evidence points to Bruce no longer being alive, but the family need closure. If this is the case, they need an opportunity to lay him to rest. If you have any information relating to Bruce's disappearance, please contact West Yorkshire's Homicide and Inquiry Team on 101. Patricia Lashley was 33 years old when she vanished from her Dudley flat on the 1st of September 1998. Today, she would be 55 years old. Patricia is originally from Newcastle, where she met her son Mehmet, whom she had four children with. She then married Nathan Lashley in 1992, and the couple moved to London and had two children together. It was when they split up that Patricia moved to Dudley in the West Midlands. During the 3 years she lived in Dudley, Patricia had her seventh child before meeting and moving in with Trevor Dunkley. Patricia was last seen by Trevor leaving the flat they shared on the morning of the 1st of September after the couple had had a row. Patricia was not reported missing until the 8th of June 1999, 9 months after she vanished, by her sister who lived in Wales. It's unclear why it took so long for her to be reported missing. Patricia is known to have suffered from alcohol and drug issues and also suffered from depression. However, it's unclear whether these are related to her disappearance or not. several of Patricia's children were being looked after by family members, while her three youngest boys had been taken into the care of social services. Her youngest child was just 9 months old when Patricia disappeared and would now be 21 years old. Patricia was known to frequent the town's pubs and clubs, and by all accounts, was quite well known around Dudley. Despite many inquiries, Patricia has never been found. In 2010, police reopened her case, with Detective Inspector Nigel Smith stating, quote, "Over the years since Patricia went missing, we have conducted many searches, inquiries, and trawled through a great deal of information. However, she is yet to be found. Missing person investigations always remain open, should any new information be received, and we are now reviewing Patricia's case in the hope a revised appeal may help us to solve the mystery of her disappearance for her family, especially her seven children." End quote. Patricia was known to have links to Newcastle, London, Wales, Scotland, and Cyprus, where her ex-husband is from. Patricia has not withdrawn any money from her bank account since she disappeared and took none of her belongings with her. Detective Inspector Richard Jones told ITV News, quote, "We have not heard from her in over 18 years. She has not appeared on any government systems, claimed any benefits, or used any bank accounts." End quote. Patricia was 5'4", of slim build, with mousy brown hair. She's described as having a distinct Geordie accent, with black front teeth and several teeth missing round the sides. Patricia is also known to have used the names Jade Lashley, Janessa Bradford, or Trisha. Patricia's family are desperate for answers. Her eldest son would love for his mum to meet her granddaughter. Despite Patricia living in many places and making connections with many people, no one has come forward. Someone out there knows something about Patricia's disappearance. If you're that person, or you know who that person is, you are urged to contact Brierley Hill Police Station on 0345 113 5000 or the Dudley Neighbouring Policing Unit on 101. Kenneth Jones was 18 years old when he disappeared from his Glenrothes home on the 3rd of November 1998. He would now be 40 years old. Kenneth spent the evening before with his aunt and uncle. In an interview with the newspaper Fife Today, his aunt May said, quote, "The night before, he was all smiles and happy playing video games with his uncle. There was no suggestion he was in any way troubled. That makes it all the more difficult to fathom." End quote. Kenneth's mother, Mary, last saw him when he went up to bed the previous evening. On the freezing cold morning of the 3rd of November, Kenneth left his home at 7 a.m, apparently lightly dressed, wearing gym shoes. Mary stated that he took no clothes with him and had no money on him. It appears that this was not a planned disappearance on Kenneth's behalf. Despite extensive inquiries, Kenneth's location has never been confirmed. In 2018, the family renewed their appeal, desperate to find any information that could help find Kenneth. His aunt, May, told Fife Today, quote, "We've never given up hope, despite the length of time Kenneth has now been gone. How could we? I've looked all over Britain for him, from hostels to homeless charities, Scotland to London and beyond, in the hope someone might have seen Kenneth. But there's been nothing, which has been heartbreaking for the family, but we will not give up hope. Despite the years, we live in hope that he's still alive. We just want to know he is safe and well, hopefully with a family of his own and not suffering at all. We love him so much and just want to know he's all right and safe. And we urge him to make contact with us. If he happens to be reading this, wherever he might be, that would be a relief from the torment and worry we continue to face." End quote. Kenneth's mother, Mary, told the Daily Record she was unable to live in the house after he disappeared. Quote, "It was like living with ghosts. The one thing I have held on to was his housecoat. I've never washed it and it's hanging up in the wardrobe. I've got nephews who are older than what he was when he disappeared. I see them growing up, and I just wonder about him, what he would be like and what he's doing. I hate to say it, but I just feel as though he's not here anymore. My friends and family all say he's out there somewhere, but it's just hard. Every day is a struggle, end quote. Mary recently issued a new message to her son. Quote, I am missing you very much and thinking about you every day. I wish you would come home, but if you don't want to contact me, please get in touch with the Missing People charity to let me know you're okay and please look after yourself. End quote. At the time of his disappearance, Kenneth was described as white, 6'2" tall, with short, dark brown hair. He was last seen wearing a black leather jacket, black jeans, yellow and green trainers, carrying a small blue or black rucksack. Kenneth also has a small scar under his right eye. If you have any information relating to Kenneth's disappearance or his current whereabouts, please contact Glenrothes Police on 101. Linda Millard was 40 years old when she disappeared on the 1st of March, 1996. Linda was reported missing on the 3rd of March. However, the Cable has very recently revealed that her story starts months earlier, in December 1995, when a Range Rover was found in a snowy country lane just outside Rettenden in Essex. Inside the car were the bodies of local drug dealers known as the Essex Boys, Craig Rolfe, Tony Tucker, and Pat Tate, that had been shot dead at close range. Linda then revealed to friends that when they saw the news of the killing on the evening news on the 7th of December 1995, she was shut out of the living room for hours while her boyfriend, who remains unnamed, made a series of calls. This gave Linda cause to believe that her boyfriend may have been involved in the murders, especially because she already believed that he was involved in funding drugs, counterfeit perfume and pornographic videos. Linda was so disgusted by the thought that he may have something to do with the murders that she left him and sought refuge with her close friends until mid-February 1996. On the 28th of February, Linda's ex-boyfriend found her, and 2 days later, she'd vanished. Linda's white Austin Mini Metro was found on the grassy headland of Battery Point in Portishead, overlooking the Bristol Channel, with Linda's shoes inside on the 1st of March. The police intelligence document that linked Linda's disappearance with the murders of the Essex Boys stated, quote, he has 5 or 4 houses in Essex, each worth about £500,000, with no visible means of income. He is very flashy, jetting off to Portugal to sort out business, end quote. A spokesperson for Avon and Somerset Police told the Cable that a 51-year-old man was interviewed at the time of the original investigation. However, no charges were ever brought, and so far, no one has been arrested in connection with her disappearance. Detective Inspector Lisa Jones told the Huffington Post, quote, we are treating this as a missing person inquiry, but we're keeping an open mind about the circumstances of Linda's disappearance, and we cannot rule out foul play. The case has never been closed, and reviews have taken place in the time since the original investigation, but sadly we've been unable to locate Linda or find out definitively what happened to her. We want to help Linda's family find the truth, as they're left with so many unanswered questions and deserve to know what happened to her. The passage of time sometimes allows people to come forward with information they may have felt unable to give the police at the time, or they initially felt was not relevant. We would encourage anyone with information about Linda's disappearance to come forward now and help her family find some form of closure, end quote. In a new appeal for information, Linda's daughter, Yvonne Catherall, stated, quote, on behalf of myself and my 2 brothers, we would like to appeal to the public in relation to the disappearance of our mum. Not a day goes by when we don't think about her and ask ourselves what happened that day. If anyone has any information, please can they come forward to help. My brothers and I desperately wish to find out so that we can finally have some peace and closure." End quote. At the time of Linda's disappearance, she was described as white, 5'2" tall, of slim build, with blue eyes and chestnut brown hair and the style of a bob. She was last seen wearing a navy blue and white checkered shirt, black jeans and a black anorak with a pink trim and collar. Police are asking anyone who saw or spoke to Linda in the days or weeks leading up to her disappearance or has had contact with her since the 1st of March 1996 to please come forward, as well as anyone who may have seen her white Austin Mini Metro, registration M987LOE, before her disappearance or being parked in Battery Point. If you have any information relating to Linda's disappearance, please contact the Major Crime Review Team on 101 with reference number MP4472/11. Herbert Connolly disappeared on the 19th of August, 1994. He had moved to Kent on the southeast coast of England from Ireland in the 1950s. Together with his wife Annie, they had three children, Myrtle, Hilda and Robert. Herbert had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's and was 70 years old when he walked out of his Rochester nursing home for the third time and never returned. The few times before this, Herbert had been found safe and well on the grounds of Rochester Prison. Despite numerous appeals for information, Herbert has never been found. However, his family know it's unlikely that he survived his escapade. Despite this, Annie refused to believe she was a widow and would sit in her wheelchair, praying to see her husband walk up to the front door. However, this never happened, and Annie passed away in 2005, not knowing what happened to her beloved husband. Herbert's grandson, Jason, was 11 years old at the time he disappeared. Speaking to the Kent Online newspaper, he stated, quote, "My nan and Aunt Hilda went on the television at the time to appeal for information, and the local paper featured his disappearance, but it led to nothing. There were a few unconfirmed sightings in Tunbridge Wells, but we don't think he could have got there. Again, the sighting came to nothing. He was very ill and just shuffled along. Before he had to go into the home, he had a dog called Scooby, and we sometimes think he got confused and thought he was taking the dog for a walk, as he would say the dog was with him in the home. My nan was wheelchair bound when he went missing, but she still went out to try to find him, and we put posters up everywhere. My auntie Hilda has also passed away now, and so she never got to find out what happened to her dad either. We've never been able to have a funeral for him, as nobody has ever been found. When my nan died, my granddad was mentioned as a memorial at her funeral service, and he is mentioned on her gravestone, and there is a space next to her for him. We just want to know once and for all what happened to him, so if anyone does have any information, we would like to hear about it. We just want to be able to lay him to rest." End quote. Herbert's family deserve to be able to hold a funeral for him, and Herbert deserves to be laid to rest. If you have any idea what happened to Herbert Connolly, please contact Kent Police on 101, quoting reference number 94-000696. Bruce, Patricia, Kenneth, Linda and Herbert are just five of the thousands of missing people around the UK. But to their families, they're more than just a number, more than a statistic. They're someone's daughter, son, mother, father, brother or sister. They're someone's friend and they are so terribly missed. For more information on any of the stories you've just heard, please visit missingpeople.org.uk. If you would like to provide information but wish to remain anonymous, please contact Crime Stoppers on 0800 555 111. They also have an anonymous form, which I will link to in my show notes and on my website. You can also contact Missing People anonymously by calling 116 000 or emailing 116 000 at missingpeople.org.uk. All the contact and reference numbers listed in this episode will also be on my website, along with pictures and references for this episode. These family deserve answers. The individuals, if necessary, deserve justice and to be laid to rest. They deserve to be found. Maybe you hold the key to solving even one family's heartbreak and suffering. Thank you for listening to this bonus episode of Murder and More, and we look forward to seeing you all for brand new episodes in the new year. Stay safe and have a great Christmas.